Morning, and let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 19, verse 15. I was thankful that last week when Ian and I were away down in Oregon that Jeremy was able to fill in and teach the Word of God, where he covered the section about the covenant of circumcision being given to Abraham and how Abraham and Sarah were told in old age, almost 100 years old and almost 90 years old for Sarah, that they were going to be with child. And then in that same visitation where God tells Abraham and Sarah that they're going to be with child, God also lets Abraham know that Sodom is going to be judged. And so this week we actually see the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And there's a profound lesson to us about this. And really the title is going to be found in these verses that we're going to read here just to give a flavor of the study today. In Genesis 19:15 it says, in the beginning of the judgment of Sodom, when the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. And so it came to pass, when they had brought them outside, they said that he said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." But, going to verse 26, "But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." Let's pray. Father, we do just so thank you for your word, Lord, that our faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Lord, as we just see in this section of scripture today, that there's those that by faith will listen to the warning of judgment and flee to the salvation. For Lot, it was the mountain, and for us, it's Jesus. And yet also there's those who reject your warnings, Lord, and want to look back because of their attachments to the world, and fail to receive the grace and the mercy that you offer to all. And Father, we pray that as we all as souls here in this room today, going to heaven or going to hell, will ponder, Lord, these things. And Father, for those that are going to heaven because they believe in your Son, Jesus, that Lord, it would be an encouragement to us that there are still those that are lost that we need to call out to, and just as the angels grabbed a hand of Lot to make a way, that, Lord, we extend a hand to those that don't know you. We love you, Lord, and just pray you'd open our hearts to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. We see that, you know, this is the topic of the study today is flee judgment, don't look back. And we're going to see as we're going to go in detail over these verses, but we're going to first go back to Genesis 19:12 to get the lead in of what happened just before this. As, you know, Jeremy left off right really in the middle of the story for those that are joining us today to just get a lead in. But it's flee judgment. This whole world, the Bible tells us, the Word of God tells us, this world is also headed to a judgment. Not in the same way as Sodom and Gomorrah, but it's going to happen according to Jesus. And we're in this time period. We're in these 2,000 years since Jesus came, where God has given his people a message to say, get out of Sodom. We're not angels, but we're people. Get out of Sodom while there's still time. And then there's going to be a day that the judgment will truly come. And so it's just the importance of the Word of God for us to learn. In chapter 19, verse 12, just picking up, it says, you know, going back in time here a little bit, then the men, and actually angels who look like men, because the Bible makes it clear angels can't appear as men. In the book of Hebrews, it says that some people have entertained angels unawares. In other words, an angel comes by, hey, knock, knock, I'm looking for dinner, might have something to tell you. And people would let them in and sit down with them and entertain angels. Have them come in and eat, and maybe a conversation's going on, leave, don't even know. But they're angels. And there's many accounts of Christians and others who really feel like they have had angelic visitations at times. And so then the men, these angels, said to Lot, have you anyone else? We're going to destroy this place. We're telling you, do you know anyone else, son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, or whoever you have in this city take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, "Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. Jeremy ended with that last week, and that's a lead-in for where we're going. But our message is the same, and we should accept the same response. They were living in a great city. We know that archaeologically. We know that from written records, ancient written records. Big, big city, lots of money. And what do you mean this place is going to be destroyed? Get out of here. Oh, God's upset with our sinfulness. Well, we've been doing this kind of sinfulness for years. Doesn't look like he's been too upset. And they just misunderstand the mercy of God. Get out of here. So Lot had more than two. We're going to see two daughters do get out, virgin daughters that weren't married, but he had two daughters that were married. And they said, "Get out of here, Lot." But our message, see, God told the angels to tell Lot, tell him to get as many as he can. Judgment's coming, get out. But they didn't listen. What if he would have said, "You know what? I really don't care if they get smoke tested. I just want to just go. I'll just go. I don't care about anybody else." I think God would have said, "Wait a sec. I want them to have the opportunity to at least be warned." And see, we can have the attitude, "I don't want to warn them. I don't want to warn the world. Or I want to water down the message. I don't want to tell them judgment's coming," because people just, they think that's so negative and narrow-minded for Christians to talk about heaven and hell. And about light and darkness, that God has a standard, and you know, those Christians, they talk about things that are an abomination to God, and that's just so obnoxious. Why can't they just be like everybody else and water down their message and not be so in our face? But see, Lot would have been hateful to those people to have not at least told them. And we have to warn people, because our Lord Jesus, He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He is coming back. He did give us this message. It is coming to this world. And, you know, we might live and die a natural death before the judgment of the tribulation period comes, but judgment comes for every soul that is dying without Jesus. And there are souls dying out there today without Jesus. And they're going to come face to face, not with the burning, smoldering city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and not with what's coming on this world in the tribulation period, but they'll stand and realize when God says, "What did you do with my son Jesus?" "Well, I blew him off. I thought those people were crazy telling me I needed Jesus." "Well, that was a bad mistake," the Father will say. So, going to verse 15 again, which, "When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, 'Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here,'" not married ones, "'lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city.'" And everybody has to get out. We have to get out of this world to not be consumed. The Bible says, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. He who loves the world, love of the Father is not in him. We have to see that this world is corrupted. This, you know, just like Lot could look around and see, my city's corrupted. Well, then get out. Get out of this city or you will be consumed. And then verse 16, it says, "And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand." Can you imagine? I wonder why he lingered. Over the years, I've come to realize you can really learn about people by giving them a title. That's one thing you can do. You know, give them a title. And you find out what's really in them when they get that title. And you can also tell them no when they really want to do. Tell your children no when they really want something. And then when they sit there and go, "Yes, Daddy." And then you go, "Boy, that's the best Father's Day present I ever got. Yes, Daddy. Wow." Here on Father's Day, what does it say most of the time? Usually it's arguing and contempt and, you know, scrunched up face and, you know, "You're messing with my life," and, you know, whatever a lot of times in the society today. But when they go, "Yes, Father," you go, "Oh, there's a heart of submission there." And when God tells us no, do we scrunch up our face at God? Or do we say, "Yes, Father," on Father's Day especially? And another way you could really determine a man is say, "You know, your city's about to be destroyed by God in judgment, and find out what he wants to take out of his house." That's probably what Lot was doing. "Well, wait a second. Can I linger a little bit? I got to get my favorite CDs. You know, I got to get my movie records. I got to get my family photos. I got to get my when you watch somebody that their house is getting ready to burn and you find out what they're pulling, you find out where their treasures are. And I would say that the world would be saying, "Man, I want to go to one more Mariners game. I got to watch that favorite show of mine. I got to make sure to find out who won American Idol. You know, find out if Jack Bauer saved the world. I got to, you know," which is my personal conviction. I mean, it's like, "Lord, don't let the second coming, don't let the rapture of the church happen before we find out if Jack Bauer saves the world again." So I almost thought about not confessing, but, you know. Yeah, for you spiritual ones who don't know, just chalk it up to the fact that you're there with God. I mean, you're just... you're totally, totally discipled. But we really do have to check our hearts. What's important? And see, he was saying, "Hey, wait a second, I've got some stuff." What's the stuff that keeps people from following God? So often I have shared with people, they know their life is in sin. They know that probably the Bible's true, and when you die, you go to hell. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ. They know, they've seen people give their lives to Jesus, and they radically get changed, and there's some miracle going on in their life. And you say, "What about you?" Well, I want to linger because right now I just want to find a wife. I want to find a husband. I want to get that degree. I want to just have that job placement and advancement at work. And then I'll have some time for Jesus. I'll have some time to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, the craziness of it, the angels finally have to rip this guy and get out. Get out right now. I cannot destroy this place till I get you out of here. But he lingered for a while. And God might not give that time to people. And I tell them, I said, actually the Ray Comforts Ministry has a little card you can give them. It's an appointment card. "Would you please make an appointment to talk to me about Jesus before you die?" And then, "When are you going to die?" "Well, I don't know when I'm going to die." "Well, then you better make the appointment pretty soon. You better get right with God now, unless you have some special privilege of knowing when you're going to die. So you know how long you can linger in this state of unbelief before you stand face to face with God Almighty." The men took hold of his hand, continuing verse 16. Then the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. So two angels, two hands each, Lot, his wife, daughter, dragging him. No more time. You cannot linger any longer. And they only set him outside the city. Well, the city, the whole valley is going. And they said, "Here's the deal. You've gotten out of your city. There's the mountains, which we're going to see here in a minute. You better get there." Well, one of them didn't reach all the way there until they turned, because she kept turning around and turned to a pillar of salt. See, the Lord takes a lot of people so far. The rest of it has to be by faith. Everybody that shared with me when I was a non-Christian, they took me so far, but it took, the Lord says, "Okay, Kevin, what are you going to do?" And praise God, it was, "I'm going to get on my knees because I know it's the truth. I'm done lingering. I'm done waiting to find out. And so, God, I'm going to trust you that you are truly who you say you are in this Bible and who these Christians are saying about Jesus, that you're going to come in, you're going to change this wicked heart." And boy, as soon as you stop lingering and you really head for that salvation, which is Jesus, not the mountains like it was for him, it's Jesus. And once you get on your knees and you really give Jesus, you get his salvation deep in your soul. He is being merciful. I look at Lot, and you even look at what happens afterwards, he probably wasn't worth saving. And I am so glad that we see that he wasn't worth saving, but God saved him anyway. Because then I'm not worth saving either. And guess what? You're not worth saving. But God is so merciful that he takes us outside and he saves us. And this is so important that, these angels were saying we cannot destroy until you're out. It's a parallel passage to what many people believe is the proof text of the rapture of the church being before the real tribulation period, the hard times coming to this earth happens. And it's in 2 Peter 2:7. It says that God delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. We've read this a couple times, so I'm just going to, go to it. But it's 2 Peter chapter 2. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. God demonstrates by Lot being told, I cannot destroy this city. I cannot bring judgment on this city till I get you out. And God is not going to bring the tribulation period of the judgment of God falling upon this planet until he takes us, the saved people, out of this earth. In what's called the rapture, where we'll just disappear. In a moment, a twinkling of an eye will be changed. The dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive will be... Then we who are alive will be caught up together with him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And someday it's just going to be a trumpet. And the people that have been lingering are, boy, when they watch our rooster tails or whatever they get to see, they're going to go, oh, I think I lingered too long. And what a horrible thing. You get in the book of Revelation and you see what's going on after that. It's like, man, what a bummer. To have missed Jesus because of what? Another movie, another date, another finding the bottom of another bottle, finding another high with a pill, all the things the world considers so important. It's going to be so meaningless. As Lot looked back at the burning city, I'm sure he thought, well, it was kind of all meaningless. Verse 17, so it came to pass when they had brought them outside that he said, escape for your life, do not look behind. You look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest you be destroyed. And maybe we'll sing this song at the end of our service today, but when I was first a Christian, one of the songs that meant the most to me, worship songs, was I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And you sing that several times. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. See, it's like, the people that disciple me say, Kevin, this is a one-way trip. This is a burn the bridge to the world. Burn as much of it as you can. No more. The world is dying. It's going to be corrupted. It's going to be destroyed. Move on with Jesus and have the cross and Jesus always before you. And that's what God was telling Lot. There's a salvation in the mountains you keep. You don't even look back. One more little look at the enticements of the world. Because you know what? The world has its pleasures. There's no debating it. It has lots of little buzzes. Drug buzzes, emotion buzzes, immorality buzzes. It has the buzzes. And Satan knows that there's a part of us that just really, it can be gripping. It can be enticing. It can be addicting. And yet, God can set it free, but it's by clipping. It's like, God, crucify, help me crucify my flesh, that it doesn't hold on to me as I press on to the high calling of Christ. Verse 18, then Lot said, please know, my lords, indeed now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. See now, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. Again, amazing God saved him. Lot is such a coward. And actually, why is he afraid of going up to the hills? I don't know. He's a city dweller. What are city dwellers? You send them out in the country. What are they? Lions and tigers and bears. Oh, no. That he's probably thinking he's going to die up there in the mountains. What am I supposed to do? Well, now, and this is another thing that people, they resist Jesus because what am I going to, the only life I know is my drinking buddies. The only life I know is my drugging buddies. The only life I know is X, Y, Z. Well, if I accept this Jesus who I know I should accept, what's my life going to be? Am I going to die? Am I going to have nothing? And, that was something that got to me, when I was first being shared with those Christians, that what do they do? For fun.
like, man, I don't know.
Fun. I mean, the world thinking they're having fun when so much of their lives are trash because of what they're doing in the world. And what Lot is saying is, man, you're going to just save me to kill me. What foolishness to think God is saving him, waiting for the judgment of this city, only so he can get him and then devour him by something that's unknown to Lot at the time. I mean, doesn't that sound foolish to even worry about? But do we ever worry about that? Yeah, because we're foolish too. And God decides to save us too. You know, many fear, but we are not to fear God. And the greatest way to alleviate the fear from the concerns of where is God going to take me is the promise that James gives us, that our life, if you really think about it on this earth, even it's 80, 90 years, whatever, is just such a short little vapor that appears for a moment and then it's gone, and we're in eternity in heaven with God. And I was reading Josephus on his account of this, which I'll get into in a minute. But when I was looking at Josephus, I realized, for those of you that have the book, or you can go online and download his whole book if you want to, but I had never noticed before that he had a chapter in there of telling the Greeks about Hades. And it's awesome. We're going to make it a handout next week, but it's an awesome, awesome commentary on heaven and hell. It's just unbelievable. And this is a time of Jesus, Jew, who's witnessing to the pagan Gentile Greeks. This is what you guys use this term Hades for your mythology, for your Greek mythology. But this is how God is using this word to explain to you. Hades has this holding place for the souls, and just gets into the whole thing about how God is going to bring a Messiah. And see, Josephus, some think that he was actually a believer in this Jesus, but you can't tell for sure. But he talked about a Messiah who was going to deliver the souls of people through forgiveness and have them enter into everlasting life, new bodies that are joined with their souls at a time of the resurrection to forever experience the incredible bliss of God, free from all disease and suffering, etc., just like our New Testament says, actually, as our Old Testament says too, and alludes to. And how that those who would reject God, all the fears and pains they have now will be forever because they've rejected the salvation of Jesus. It's just a masterful way that he wrote it. We'll make it a handout last week and post it on our web. And so again, verse 20, it says, "See, now this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one." I think he was probably saying, I know all large cities end up being wicked, and I know you're going to destroy huge city Gomorrah, huge city Sodom, maybe other huge cities. I know huge cities are wicked. This is little city. So can I go to that one? Because it's just a little one. They haven't gotten all corrupted yet. And he said to him, "See, I have favored you concerning this thing also." I guess it's okay to argue with angels. "In that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken." And some think the wording here is that, "And I was going to, but I won't now. But hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there." Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar, which means little. God is patient with our unbelief. And, at least he ran there. At least he had the faith to run to the salvation. He had the faith to not look back. He had the faith, as Jesus came to the man and said, "Do you believe?" And he says, "God, I believe. Jesus, I believe. Help my unbelief." And, we're all there in one stage or another. We all, for those that are believers in Jesus Christ, you know that Jesus is your Savior. And then he says, "Do you really believe in me?" "Yes, Jesus, I know, but I mean, there's still, if I really believed, I wouldn't have anything to do with the world. If I really believed, I'd be nothing but spreading the Great Commission message out to the world. I would flee away from all sin. Because I know that second I get blasted into heaven and I realize, oh, it was all true, why didn't I X, Y, Z?" See, and that's what total belief would be. I'm going, and you know what? I was doing everything exactly what Jesus said. Well, see, Lot wasn't doing everything Jesus had said, but God saved him. "The sun had risen early," verse 23, "upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens." It was a work of angels, we know, because the angels told him, "We can't." And, there's New Testament verses that you read the book of Revelation. Says the angel with the trumpet judgments of God, and the angel blows, and there's judgment that falls down upon the earth. Angels with the bowls of wrath of God, throwing their wrath Righteous are you, O God, because they killed your people. They spread the blood of your saints through the years and years of oppressing the church and killing and murdering Christians, feeding them to the lions, torturing them and killing them all over the face of the earth. And they spill blood over the earth, and you have given them blood to drink because the rivers turn blood. And the angels are rejoicing, but the wrath of God is being poured through angels, bringing a tribulation like the world has never seen to the earth. So we overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. This is not a fairy tale. For years, people said it was a fairy tale. Then they found the archaeological evidence that a Sodom and Gomorrah existed. There is no evidence of today except for there's some ruins in the very south part of the Dead Sea that might be it, but there wasn't much left. And people, you know, there's other fire and brimstones that are coming. You read Ezekiel 38:39, a war in which Russia and some allies, Iran, Ethiopia, Turkey, Libya, are invading the nation of Israel in the last days. After it's been gathered from the nations of the world and is planted back in the land, they all come in the last days and fire and brimstone falls on them. And I've heard Bible teachers say, oh, those, obviously that's nuclear war. Well, I don't think God used nukes on Sodom and Gomorrah. I think He just brought fire and brimstone. But see, the world is about to see fire and brimstone again. And when they see the fire and brimstone, we'll see it when this army comes to destroy, finish off Israel. There will be the miraculous hand of God by the authority of the Scriptures coming. Might happen in our lifetime. And when it does, we will see the fire and brimstone. This is not fairy tale. This really happened. It happened because this city had become vile with sexual immorality. It came because men rejected God. It became because there was nobody left who would fear God. They got the last guy out, Lot, and his two daughters, which aren't too fearful of God, we're going to see, out just before it fell. And as we head as a country, as we head as a world further and further away, these things will come because the Bible says it will. But his wife, verse 26, looked back behind him, and she behind the angel, you know, angels dragging her, you know, had dragged her, and while, he, you know, she's behind Lot actually too, and actually Josephus says, but Lot's wife continually turning back to view the city as she went from it and being too nicely inquisitive what would become of it, although God had forbidden her so to do, was changed into a pillar of salt. And now here's what he says for those who think, oh, that's impossible. How could the God who created the heavens and the earth and the DNA and all the host of all living things with just the breath of his mouth created everything, how could he turn a woman to a pillar of salt? I don't believe it. Oh, okay. But see, Josephus was able to say, I have seen it, and it remains this day. Josephus wrote, the historian at the time of Jesus wrote, you guys don't believe it? Go down there, and you can see it. I've seen it with my own eyes. She was preserved as what? A warning. She was a warning. In fact, the New Testament says the whole story of Sodom and Gomorrah is a warning to those people who would live ungodly of the judgment that will come upon a people that do. There was no more chances for her. See, again, they delivered her out of the city. She had seen the angels blind all the men that were going to rape the angels. She had seen the angel just pull in, you know, come into the house, pull Lot in, and then just blind everybody. She saw these angels, you know, you got to get out, and she's leaving, but does she really believe? She was given a lot of knowledge, but her heart was towards the world. And it's tragic to watch how many people, some people even, they join the church, you know, want to be part of the youth group. Well, you know, I like these Christians. They're a little bit better than my drinking buddies. I don't really like their Jesus, but, you know, I'll hang around with them. I'll say, you know, praise God and pass the potatoes. I'll even, you know, pray over dinner and they'll think I'm a Christian. Hi, bro. Hi, sis. And yet their heart is still looking back, looking, wanting that world. And then all of a sudden, us church people, the real church people, we say, what happened to them? Why did they do that? Were they saved and not saved? Were they never saved? And we get in all these theological debates. And was she ever saved? She was never saved. Her heart, she was being shown everything on how to get relieved, how to get saved, how to go to the hills. but her heart was still for the world. And see, God's not going to force anybody into heaven. Still has a heart for the world. What a drag it'd be to be in heaven. You're not drinking, stealing, being raped, or you know, otherwise abused by all the things we know in our heart. You know, people that steal, they hate it when people steal from them. People that just give their life to adultery, they hate it when their spouse commits adultery on them. Which just shows that there's something spiritual inside of us that agrees with the law of God. But yet, because of this deception of Satan and our fleshly fallenness, we want to go, you know, we want to be enticed by those things to our destruction. And so then it's, what are we going to do? Do we really see it for what it is and say, I want to follow Jesus and I want His law to be my law forever? And if it's not forever, then God knows. He sees you have the heart of Lot's wife and you'll fall short of reaching the mountaintop of salvation in Jesus. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. Then he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land which went up from the, like the smoke of the furnace. And you know, he's probably, for those that have been following our study, it was a few chapters ago, he said, you know, Lot, you and I, we have too many flocks and herds. We can't both be together. There's just not enough pasture land. What would you like to take, Lot? And Lot goes, boy, it's really fertile down there. I'm going to go take that. You take the high ground, the non-fertile ground. Abraham says, okay, because I'm going to trust God. The first thing Abraham did, as Jeremy pointed out last week, he goes and he has fellowship with God. What does Lot do? He goes down and he starts being big boy in the city, sitting as the city elder and probably getting rich. But now Abraham's sitting there going, you know what? Hanging in with you, God, is a good thing. It might look bad for a while. Might look like, boy, my nephew Lot, man, he's cleaning up down there. Getting rich, enjoying life, stuff, and I'm just as a nomad going through, just making memorials to God, thinking about God, loving God, maybe not having as much as him, but really, who's winning now? Abraham's watching everything Lot had gone, destroyed in the judgment of God. See, there's so many people that just think here and now. I want right now. But you're going to violate God. Well, if I go follow God, I'm not going to get here and now. Well, here and now is pretty short when it comes to Judgment Day. We don't know how God destroyed it. Fire and brimstone fell down. The place was burning. And now it's the deepest place on earth. There's no place deeper than the Dead Sea area. We know it was the Dead Sea area. Maybe there was just this huge natural gas, you know, oil, whatever, that just got torched by God and blew up and sank down. And you know what? The same thing would happen in Yellowstone. They tell us, they know there's this huge magma chamber underneath Yellowstone. And you can Google supervolcano. I mentioned this 2-3 years ago. You can Google supervolcano to, you know, look into what I'm about to tell you. But there's this magma chamber underneath there, and the pressure in it is enough that it's bowing up Yellowstone. They know by taking surveys that the crust is bowing up, that the pressure's building up. And someday that place could let loose. And they know that if that place lets loose, America's gone. Everything within 600 miles is going to be dead. And somebody will be standing up on top of, you know, maybe, and actually, because of the Cascade Mountain Ranges, we're outside the kill zone. If that comforts you, you're not going to be able to eat much from the breadbasket of America because it's gone. But at least you'll be like Abraham. Wow. If you're around when it happens. And it'll probably sink down too. You know what I mean? Because the magma will come blasting up and throw things into space. I think it might be even one of the reasons why it says in the tribulation period, rocks are falling down from space. Everybody is hiding themselves in caves. They're not in their houses because this stuff is coming down and it's just killing anybody that's out in the open unless they happen to be able to dodge this stuff. And so they're hiding in caves. All the inhabitants of the world. Could it be that this Yellowstone blows? And I've been, as I've mentioned before, I watch earthquakes. Did you know in the last week or two, there is, like I have not seen in 3 years, there's little earthquakes all over Yellowstone area, Montana and Wyoming. You go watch it, you'll notice if you went today, you'd see there's a bunch of just earthquake activity. Does it mean anything? I don't know. I just know that it's unusual. And I do know that they know the place someday could erupt. Maybe it would be just like what Abraham saw. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain, verse 29, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. Praise God, he remembers you. Praise God, he cast you out of the midst of the judgment of God into the loving, comforting hands of Jesus. When he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt, then Lot went up to Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters were with him. For he was afraid to dwell in Zoar, and he and his two daughters dwelt in a cave. So he said, don't send me to the mountain, send me to that city. He gets to the city, something makes him afraid. Maybe it's like, where'd you come from, Sodom? Why are you here? Well, because some angels warned me that the place is going to be destroyed, and so I got out of there. Oh, really? We don't like you in our city. Your judgment, you get out of our... Maybe he was told, get out of here if you fled from Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, the Bible says that we are a fragrance of death to the unbeliever. That just being around them reminds them of death and judgment because we talk to them about Jesus, death, judgment, salvation. And they don't want to hear it because we have that aroma. Or maybe when he got into the city, he goes, you know what? There's homosexuality here. There's adultery here. There's immorality here. And now those angels told me that's what happened. I better get out of Zoar. I better go find a cave. Who knows? Maybe those angels will change their mind and Zoar goes too. And so he goes to a cave. Now, we see that the corruption of the family is pretty intense because, in verse 31, now the firstborn daughter said to the younger, our father is old. There is no man on the earth to come into us, as is the custom of the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father. This was an incredible judgment. I mean, they're thinking everybody's dead. I mean, the fire going up is like everybody's dead, and whatever was going on in the city, they must be next. They're right on the edge of this judgment. We have to go up into this cave. Unless we help out, no one's going to live. You know, last week we did visit a church down in Oregon. I love pew sitting with my family every once in a while. And the pastor made a great analogy. He was talking about we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the earth. And then he analogized it to a boat. Is a boat any good in the garage? No, the boat's not any good in the garage. The boat's got to be out in the water. So he says, just like us. We're no good if we're completely out of the world. We're only good in the world. But the bad thing is if, just like a boat, if the water gets in a boat, then it's bad. Because then the boat sinks in the water, gets completely destroyed, judged by the water. So the ideal thing is that the boat's in the water, but not of the water. Just like the Christian, it's good to be in the world, but that the world's not in us. Because the world in us corrupts us. And see, it's so obvious that Lot, even though his soul was vexed day by day by these things, he was trying to raise his family, the influence, obviously, in his family has totally trashed their mind. And you know what? As a Christian, you try and live in this world and you let the water in your house, let your kids watch these videos of nudity stuff and these other things that can be in the media, let them listen to these MTV, you know, homosexuals kissing each other all over the place, I've heard. I don't watch MTV. I don't even have cable. You know why? Because I know how leaky my boat could be. You know, personally, I don't want any I don't want pressure from my cable getting in my boat because it could ruin me. And so I just know I'd be too tempted, so get rid of it. Now, if you can handle cable, praise God, you're more spiritual than me. If the cable, however, is leaking into your boat, I'll buy you a dike, which is an electrical cutting tool. And you can keep it. Because it's that important, as your pastor, to warn you that this stuff wants to get in. And this is what happens to a family that lets the world so surround them that all of a sudden these girls are saying, let's get daddy drunk and then sleep with him in incest so that we can have a baby, so that we can help out God save the world. What foolishness that is. And, you know, as they made their father drink wine, can you make anybody drink? I doubt they went, bam! You know, okay, there's no way he would have gotten drunk, but we got to save the world and, you know, just guzzled it down their dad. Probably didn't do that. Dad, hasn't it been kind of rough watching Sodom get trashed? And, you know, I mean, don't you think, I mean, we got this bottle of wine we got from those guys in Zoar. Don't you think you ought to just have a break today? Don't you deserve a break today, Dad?
Yeah,
I do. Oh, have another one, Dad. And then immorality. You know what? Drinking never does anything good. You play around with drugs, alcohol, everything. Your friends play around. It is death. I told somebody last week, you know, there's demons in the bottom of the bottle. And they're just wanting to suck right down your gut and destroy your life. You want to play with drugs? Want to play with alcohol? I don't pick them up. I don't pick it up. Because I know there's demons there, and they might say, Kevin, just a sip. I know how weak I am. I know how simple I am. So the best way is no demons. You know, if you're more spiritual than me, and you can have just that much, and you don't get into drunkenness, you know, that any time anybody could call you and say, I need you to come over to my house, you don't have to worry about blowing a greater than. If you're that spiritual, then praise God. Go enjoy it. Because the Bible doesn't say, don't drink. It says, don't drink to drunkenness. And the easiest way is to not drink. Well, see, alcohol always does bad things. You kids, you're going to have people tell you, just once, just do it. Your parents trying to keep you from having fun. Just get drunk with us once. And I watch people destroy their life with it just once. So don't do it. Tell them, nope, I read a story about Lot. And see, this is the power of the Word of God. Watching the Word of God work in your hearts, train you. You don't have to do everything that the world does. You don't have to, you know, if your brother burns his hand on the burner, you can look at your brother's burned hand and say, you know what? I don't have to stick my hand on the burner to burn it too to know what it does. And that's exactly what we get from the Word of God. That's why faith comes by hearing the Word of God. It's why we teach the Word of God. It's so that it can keep you from the wicked one. So they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. That made a baby. Then the next daughter does it the next night. That makes a baby. Verse 37, the firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab, which means of his father. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. And the younger, she also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ammi, which means the son of my people, which is really means son by incest, which he is the father of the people of Ammon. You ever heard of Ammon Jordan? That's where it came from. Ammon is the Ammon for the Ammonites. These two guys became the originators of the Moabites and the Ammonites, and they were a pain in the neck to the promised people of Israel for their whole history. And if you look at the last place in the Bible that mentions them is Zephaniah 2:8, where God brings judgment upon them because of their animosities towards the nation of Israel. Now, praise God, the Moabites were a wicked people, sacrificed their sons and daughters, worshipped idols, everything else, because this immorality, it started through immorality, and the lineage just kept going that way. But then there was this little Moabitess woman who was exposed to the gospel of the good news of the God of Israel. And she said when she was fleeing her land with Naomi in the book of Ruth and says, you know, I want your God to be my God. I want your people to be my people. And so Ruth, the Moabitess, who is in this lineage of corruption, makes the God of Israel her God, and she's in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Which just proves that no matter how corrupt your family was when you were being raised, no matter how corrupt your life has been already, no matter how much you've corrupted it, it only takes saying, I want the true God to be my God. I want Jesus, who is yours, the Christian that's witnessing to you, I want him to be my Jesus. I'm going to go from my land to your land. I'm going to go from judgment to salvation. I'm going to worship God all the days of my life. People that are wise will do that. They'll flee from judgment, not look back. And that's what we really learn from the story today. Just not letting the world get into our hearts and corrupt us. And I just pray that if there's anybody here that has not given their life to Jesus, that you would talk to the Christian that's with you. You'd talk to me afterwards. And that you would even stand and pray with me right now as we all stand. And we are going to have this time of just closing in prayer, and I don't want to lose the moment that if you have not given your life to Jesus, that you would give it now. But we're also going to then quickly go to worship time in closing, and then a video that's just a few minutes to explain this faith comes by hearing. And even if you want to linger a little bit, I'd say don't leave here without lingering with one of these MP3s and listen to the New Testament. Listen to it. Get into your heart that you might be saved. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that you so warn your people. You warn us, God, because you're so merciful, not wanting any to suffer, but wanting all to come to a knowledge of repentance and a knowledge of salvation in your Son. That you're long-suffering, and you put up with our foolishness for so many years, Lord, but always reaching out and trying to take our hand and get us outside the city gate of this world system that's being judged and tell us to flee to Jesus. Father, if there's anybody here that wants to make today a day they give their life to you, that they would just, Lord, be compelled to just join in this prayer that, Father, I'm a sinner and I don't deserve to be saved. But God, you love me and I know you want me to be forgiven if I just believe in your Son, Jesus. Lord, I can't save myself through good works. I've already committed bad works. I've already sinned. And for sin, I deserve death. But I know that Jesus was sent, who lived a perfect life, and then took my sin upon himself and died and suffered on my behalf, that I could be given his righteousness. And Lord, I want to take that salvation plan. I want to run to that hill, that rock which will never move, and not look back, and follow you till the day you call me home. In Jesus' name, amen.
Still I will follow. You can go ahead and have a seat for just a second. You guys are troopers for hanging in there today. I know we're going a little long, but this is oh so important. And, you know, especially on Father's Day, I take it to heart that this, myself as a father, or maybe you're not a father, maybe you're a brother, a husband, a mentor to somebody. Okay, you have people around you. We all have sort of, you know, you've heard that term, sphere of influence, okay? We all have people that we can reach. And this is important today. Kevin just emphasized towards the end of the message the importance of the Word of God. Now, we're going to read a couple more scriptures, and then I'll explain what we're going to do today. So in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, Paul writing to Timothy, he says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." So first point we make is that the Scriptures are able to make one wise for salvation. We understand salvation through the Word of God. 7 years ago, I had never heard the preaching or the teaching or the reading of the Word of God. I walked into a church, I heard it, I was convicted, cut to the heart, convicted of my sin. And then the gospel was shared with me through that same word, and just as a personal testimony, I was saved through the Word of God. Psalm 119, and you know, may the Lord make this all our hearts. The psalmist says, "I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure." That we would treasure the Word of God. 1 Peter, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls away, but the Word of the Lord endures forever." Okay, so if there's anything, I mean, all the things that we hold dear on this earth, in reality, as dear as we hold them, they're going to pass away, but there's one thing that is going to remain forever, the Scriptures tell us, and that is the Word of God. A couple statistics for you. Did you know that 65% of Bible-believing Christians, and this is according to Hosanna Ministries, did you know that 65% of Bible-believing Christians have never read the entire New Testament? Just sat down for themselves and read the entire New Testament. I ask you, have you read the entire New Testament? Did you also know that less than 50% of Americans can name all four Gospels, and over 50% of teenagers believe that Jesus committed sins? Just a random poll done, okay? So why does this come? Why do these shocking statistics come? It's because of a lack of the Word of God. They don't understand. There's no understanding. Hosanna Ministries has been kind enough. They're working, as Kevin mentioned earlier, with Wycliffe Ministries to put on MP3, it's a single CD disc, in MP3 format, an audio version of the New Testament. Maybe some of you already have this. There's other ministries that put this out. But what they're looking for is, number one, they want to encourage us to listen through the New Testament. I listened to the first part last night. I was the guinea pig, so to speak. And I listened to the first 7 chapters of the book of Matthew. And it's really cool because it's not just some monotone voice, and Jesus went to the Sea of Galilee. You know, it's actually narrated, it's got music behind it, it's got a little bit of sound effects, and so I'm actually excited to sit down with my family and do it. I'm hoping Timothy and Bailey will get into it just because of that aspect. And it's really easy to listen to, it's easy to follow along. And so what Hosanna Ministries, they're giving away these MP3s. We paid nothing for them. They're simply giving them away because they want to encourage you guys to listen through. And it may, hopefully it'll encourage a habit of reading the New Testament, but this is something to jumpstart us. What they're trying to do is they're trying to get the MP3s in different languages. I'll give you one example. There's a country of Benin, I'm probably saying that wrong, Benin, Africa, okay, and their language is Bariba or Bariba. There's 560,000 people that speak this language. So far, there's about 75,000 people that they've reached, and there's an additional, so that makes an additional 450,000 that they'd like to reach. A lot of these people, sometimes, they can speak their own language, they can listen to their own language, but they can't read it. And so this is where this comes in handy. If you have a CD player, an MP3 player, that you can actually sit down with people and just have them listen to the Word of God. And it is alive, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it'll go into the hearts of people and do its work there. And God promises that as His word goes out, it will not return to him void. It accomplishes everything that he sets it forth to. And that's the precious promise that we have today. So I wanted to keep that short, but as you leave today, Daniel and Jennifer actually are, you're going to get your parting gift, so to speak. For playing today, you get your parting gift, okay? And I make that light, but grab one. Each adult, we actually have enough for each adult to have one. And what you do is every day for the next 40 days, if you can, that's what they're wanting to do. If you can't, if that doesn't work, don't get into a mode of, okay, got to go 40 days and you go 7 and then, oh, I blew it today, so got to quit altogether. Just as you have time, sit down, pop it into an MP3 player. Most DVD players will play MP3s. If you're unlike me and can figure those things out, you can play it on there. The total time last night was a half hour. It was less than a half hour. So what can we equate that to? Typical TV sitcom, half hour. That's all it takes. Just sit your family down, open up the Bibles, turn it on, let the Word of God do its work. If you want more information on Hosanna, there's information in the MP3s if you want to give to that ministry or just know more about it. So as we go today, just I encourage you guys to listen to it. That's my plan, my hope for my family. I encourage you guys, men, lead your families in this. This is important and it's going to bear fruit in your family. So God bless you guys. May He keep you this week.